Now, if I start off by asking you, how long are you in Mount Marion?
I'm here since 1928.
Yes. And it was all fields?
It was all just a park and fields.
Yes.
And there were no houses except five bungalows.
Yes. Yes.
That are here.
Yes.
And the rest was just a high stone wall.
I see.
The way down to the church.
Yes, yeah. Down to St. Thomas's.
Mm-hmm. St. Thomas's.
Yes. Sorry, I just put that over there, if you don't mind. Sorry. No, sorry. Yes, that would be down to St. Thomas's Road. Or St. Thomas's Church.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
The high wall.
Yes, it was just a high wall all the way along.
Yes.
There were no houses at all.
Yes.
Between the church and the top of Foster Avenue.
Yes, yes. And tell me this, when you came, there wouldn't have been any of the Kenny-built houses, as we call them. There'd be no... just
No.
And were they all bungalows? Or were there some
houses? Bungalows on Mount Anvil Road.
Yes.
And the only other modern building that I remember was where Mr. Cassels, the manager of the whole estate,
yes,
he lived in a comparatively modern house.
Yes.
Just opposite what is the old Matching House, we call it.
The old Matching, and this would be
really a shooting lodge.
Was this the one where the present St. Theresa's Church is? Is that the one we're talking about?
No.
Where the community centre is.
Yes.
Behind that.
Yeah. Behind that.
Yes.
And Mr. Cassell, is it, you said?
Cassels.
Did he live in... It wasn't in the Stewart's Lodge, was it? He wasn't the Stewart, was he?
No. It was a new house was built.
A new house.
I think it was a granite facing, at any rate.
And where actually? I've never seen that.
Well, the entrance to it now, I think, is off Threes Road.
I know the one, yes.
A very long passage in.
Yes.
Well, it was blocked off from the main avenue.
Yes.
When the roads were built afterwards.
Yes, yes.
Of course, there were no roads there at that time. It was only the main avenue, which was a picture to look at. There was a plantation of daffodils the whole way down the front avenue to the gate opposite Mount Marion Avenue.
Yes, yes.
And it was a big patch, I suppose about 2 yards wide. Do you remember it all?
I just remember the trees. I don't remember the daffodils.
There were trees and then there was a big flower bed.
Yeah.
The whole way along, which was just one mass of daffodils.
Yes.
All the way down.
I mean,
it's very good. Yes, that's great. Very good. Now, I know the house you're talking about. That, I was told, was the Chief Stewart's Lodge, that house.
Well, they may have called him the Chief Steward.
But Mr. Cassels, what would his, business have been like? What would he...
He was looking after the estate when it was bought from the Earl of Pembroke.
Yes.
By the Housing Corporation of Great Britain.
Yes, yes.
They apparently bought the whole estate.
Yes.
And I think it was they instituted Mr. Cassels.
Yes.
Because he was in residence when we came here.
When you came here, yes.
In 1928.
Yes, yes. This is something that I haven't actually had ever been told about. Although I was in that house, I went in to visit. The man that owns that house now is a Mr. Caslin. In the one you're talking about, Caslin, C-A-S-L-I-N. Quite like Mr.
Yeah.
Caslin, it's hardly a relation of his, I don't think. No, it couldn't be.
But that's the
present man now.
Well, they called him Cassels anyway.
That's right. Oh, yes. Was there a Mr. Crawford in it? Does that ring a bell? Crawford? No?
Crawford.
You see, you hear so many stories. Now, yours is the correct story.
But in between,
I get stories of a Mr. Crawford that lived there. Now, funnily, going back to me, who I'm talking about at this stretch, when I'm here since about 37, which is long after you, indeed. But I remember going in from the back of that house you're talking about, and there was a beautiful big gate going into the
orchard.
Exactly. Do you remember that gate?
Yes, of course I do.
Do you remember where it went to, or who got it, or anything about it?
Vera knows where it went.
So.
She was telling me the other day.
Mm-hmm.
It was sold to somebody.
That's so, yes. She asked me, this is your daughter.
Yeah, Vera.
No, Vera asked me about the main gates coming in from the top of Mount Marion Avenue. And I told her that gate, which is correct, is gone down to the junior school of Blackrock College.
Oh, is that right?
Maybe they're the ones she was talking about.
Maybe so.
Yeah, because that gate...
I don't know where the gates to the orchard went.
Yeah, they were beautiful, weren't they? Beautiful wrought iron.
Yes, they were a lovely wrought iron.
Very tall.
Yes.
They'd be much, maybe... 6 feet higher than myself, I suppose, about 12.
Well, they were very big, yes.
Yes, beautifully.
I did hear that Mount Anvil Lodge bought them, but
yes,
they have a pair of gates, but I don't think they're the ones who are into the orchard.
I heard that as well, yes.
Did
somebody
you?
Told me that.
Yes.
Where would those gates be in Mount Anvil? Where is Mount Anvil Lodge, by the way?
On your right hand side, about halfway up to Goatstown.
Wait a minute now, where am I? Coming up, the Goat Inn would be on the left. You know when you come up towards the Goat Inn, the pub on the left hand side.
Coming from here.
Oh, from here, no.
From here.
No,
from
right
here.
From here. Yeah.
From
the right hand side.
Up to, opposite the convent.
Oh, it's opposite. I was looking for them on the left hand side.
No,
yeah.
So there is a... Opposite the convent, and it goes down from the footpath, down the slope, the entrance.
And it's called Mount Anvil Lodge.
Yes, I understand that.
Great.
It was where Mr. Dardis once lived.
Mr. Dardis?
Yes.
Yeah.
They were in occupation, I think, when we came.
I see, yes.
The gates are there.
No,
I don't think they're big enough. The gate was not big enough.
You see,
precious.
I heard that before. Now I don't know whether it was from your daughter or not, but somebody.
Yeah.
I hear things up here, and they ring a little bell somewhere. But I've heard that before. But I went up looking for them.
Yes.
And of course, I was looking on the left-hand side from here.
No,
so I wouldn't have found them anyway.
No, they were on the right-hand side.
I must have another.
But I don't think they were good enough. The ones they have, I don't think, are good enough for the ones who are in Mount Marion.
I would possibly remember them, because I was very small. Well, not small, but I was very young.
Mm.
And I remember looking up at these vast gates. You certainly couldn't climb them, because the wrought iron was very ornate, very nice.
Yes.
And they definitely went in. Up. You went at the end of a pathway, and I think there was a little kind of a bowling green. Do you remember a little bowling green there on the pathway going up towards those gates? It was a tennis court later on, but I think originally it may have been a bowling green. Very flat surface. Anyway,
croquet maybe.
Yes, exactly, croquet, yeah. Anyway, that's very interesting. I have that Mr. Castle.
Castle's we call
Castle,
him.
Castle.
Well, that was right.
Oh, I'm sure that's correct, yeah, Castle, that's great. And now there's a Castle. Castlin.
Well, maybe it was.
No, you're correct. You're exactly correct. No, this man is only here within the last 10 years, maybe, so it's not the same man. But it's funny.
Yeah.
It's the same ring about it, isn't it? I thought it might be some relation along the way. Anyway, I was with him quite a few years ago, and he's a young man, much younger than I am indeed, and he said that he was only in it for a very short while.
Unless it was some relation and the name was distorted,
yes.
I don't know.
Tell me, do you ever remember any of the Pembroke family or Sir Neville Wilkinson?
No, Sir Neville Wilkinson was gone.
Was he when you
arrived? Yes, he was gone when we came here.
Yeah, but not long before 28.
I wouldn't say it was very long, no.
No, I don't think so.
No, because old Mr. Kavanagh that used to live in the lodge at the entrance to Deer Park.
Yes.
He used to talk about gardening. Yeah. Whether it was for Sir Neville Richardson or not, I don't know.
Yes.
But he was in the gardens.
Was he? Yes.
Yes.
Mr. Kavanagh.
Yes,
you
Mr. Kavanagh.
I don't remember.
I don't.
He and his wife and daughter lived in the lodge at this end.
Yes.
And he used to lock the gates at this end and lock the front gates onto Mount Mary.
Onto the top of the avenue. Yes.
Those had to be locked every night.
I see.
When we came here. And yes. There was nothing, only a farm track. Into the back of the mansion, we call it.
Yes, yes.
At that time.
I see.
Well, there was a field gate across the track, about halfway there, and that's joined a bit of the old ha-ha. Did you remember that?
I'm delighted you said ha-ha, because I was... You know, I've been writing a bit on this. I'm in the Mount Marion Historical Society, and this is why I'm so interested in it, because they asked me what I put together on paper. The bit I remembered, you know, but it's long after you arrived here. But I looked up ha-ha in the dictionary, a Chambers dictionary, and there's no such word in the dictionary. Anyway, that's apart from it. I called it the ha-ha. It's actually for keeping the deer or...
Yes, it was keeping the deer from the private part of the gardens and
yes.
lawns around the house.
Yes. And it's actually, that is still there, that ha-ha.
No, yes. There's only a bit of it that I know of.
Yes.
It's at the back of the houses, you know, where you turn into the park.
Yes, yes.
Beyond Elberhoy.
Yeah, but it's all along behind those houses, all behind the shops.
Mm.
Yes, behind, you know where
yes,
the shops
are. Yes, the shops I do indeed. Yes. No, it is a ha-ha. A ha-ha.
Well, the end of their gardens is part of the old ha-ha.
Yes, I'm delighted to hear you call it ha-ha because...
it's well known.
Well known.
Known term for
yeah.
this division between
yes.
the fields and the private grounds.
Yes, yes, I see. Yeah.
It's quite an old... Term.
Yeah, I had heard it all right, but now going up towards with the woods on your right hand side and the ha-ha on the left, you know, going up
yes.
with the woods on the left, the ha-ha, and there's a kind of a jump down. So the actual deer or the cattle would have been down on that spot.
Yes,
so
the cattle yeah. were all around us.
Yes, so
when we came here.
Yes, I see.
The park was still
yes.
grazed and there were cattle all around
yes,
us.
Yes.
Because we only, when we came here, there was nothing in the way of shelter, only just a wire fence.
Yes.
And the cattle were grazing outside the fence.
Yes, yes.
All around us.
Yes. So there were still cattle there. I wonder.
Well, they used to let the ground
just
every year.
Yes, yeah, I get you, yes, yes, yes.
Yes, the ground was left for grazing.
Yes.
Because first there were cattle on it, and then afterwards it was left for sheep.
I see, yes.
And old Mr. Joe owned the sheep.
I see.
He used to rent it.
Joe, yes.
Joe.
Yes. And tell me this, he, going back to the, you know, Sir Neville Wilkinson, did you hear any nice stories about Sir Neville or his daughter Gwendolyn or Phyllis? There was two daughters, I think.
Well, at that time that he built Titania's palace, apparently he only had a little girl.
Yes.
One little girl.
Yes, yeah, that was Gwendolyn.
I don't know what
yeah,
her name
Gwendolyn.
Was.
Yeah.
But there was a bit in that Doll's House book.
Yeah,
about Titania's palace.
You possibly got that
yeah,
a little later. Yes.
No.
That I did. Yeah,
yeah,
I got that. That was, yeah, that was very valuable because,
Yes, that would tell you about Sir
yes,
Neville.
Yes. I'm very interested in him because in actual fact he had two daughters, but the other girl was never mentioned. It was Phyllis. Anyway, that's apart from it. It has nothing to do with it. The thing I'd be very interested in would be the old characters that may have been around, like your man Mr. Kavanagh. Are there any little stories about Mr. Kavanagh?
Well, there's a remarkable story.
Yes.
When we came here, we planted about 6 new apple trees.
Yes.
And we were away on holidays, and in the meantime, his goats came down, and they eat the bark off all the new trees.
In the back here, I presume.
In our backyard.
Yes, yes.
The goats got in, of course, it was only a fence to something to stop them. And he was very apologetic. He couldn't come. Apologise now. But what I remember about Mr. Gavner was that when he got ill, much later on, he got ill, and his funeral went out in the morning, say on a Monday.
Yes.
And I saw Mrs. Gavner come in from the funeral, just going to her cottage. And on this day week, her funeral went out.
Isn't that amazing? Yes.
I couldn't believe it.
Yes.
But the sequence to that was that we had a little cottage down in Avoca.
Yes.
And we were near Castle Howard. And Mr. Kavanagh's son was in Castle Howard as a gardener. And the very same thing happened to him.
So his wife?
His wife died on, say, this weekend. And the next weekend we were down. I said I must go and see Mr. Kavanagh, because he got to know that we were from Mount Mary.
Yes.
And we used to have a chat every time we went down. But when I went out to where he was living, because he was turned out of Castle Howard and had to find new accommodation, and Miss Wynne took him in Avoca to live in the back premises.
Yes.
And when I went over, I found his funeral had gone out that morning.
Yes.
Very same thing.
Very same, yes, isn't it? Now, you say Avoca, you see, all these have connections with Titania's Palace again, because you possibly may know this, but you remember the Titania's was in Ballinasdraa, in outside Gorey, for quite a number of years on show. Did you remember that? You would have actually been living here.
Oh, yeah. Well, last I remember of Titania's Palace was the Countess of Wicklow had it.
Yes.
And she was running it for charity for the children's home in Arklow.
Yes, yes, the children's home.
Benefit the children's,
yes, yes.
Cottage hospital.
Now, when you say the Countess of Wicklow, I go back a little bit to Sir Neville Wilkinson was married to Lady Beatrix, who was the eldest daughter of the Earl of Pembroke, right?
Yes.
Now, when Lady Beatrix died, no, sorry, when Sir Neville Wilkinson died, Lady Beatrix married again to the Earl of Wicklow. Did you know that?
I didn't know.
Now, I was talking to a Lady Wicklow here in Dublin about 2 years ago, who lived down in Dalkey. I didn't like to ask her what relation was she to the Earl of Wicklow, because she wasn't, I presume it could have been a sister of the Earl of Wicklow. I was wondering, would you know?
No, I didn't know that part of the...
Yes.
But the Countess of Wicklow, of course, lived just outside of Arklow.
In Shelton.
In Shelton, yes.
Is that right?
Shelton Abbey.
Now, I'm sorry for pulling you up on this, it's just that my head goes a bit. Yep. Now, from Shelton Abbey, we go across to where the Titania's Palace was. Now, that house was belonged to. Have you any idea who owned the house that Titania's? It wasn't in Shelton Abbey, sure it wasn't, Titania's Palace.
But that I don't remember clearly.
No.
I don't know where we went, really.
Yes. I saw it myself in Ballinasdraa.
Yes.
Now, I heard, I'm not quite sure, this is what I was wondering, what you know about it, that it was the house belonging to the Latouche family. that doesn't ring a bell, does it?
Who were friends.
Yeah, they were friends of the Earl of Wicklow. There's this connection, and it becomes very muddled, for me anyway, that I don't know which is which. I can never find out what relation, as I was saying, the lady I was talking to, who lives down in, as I said, down in, near Dorky direction there. And I, you know, it's just to fill in the little pieces. But
no, I don't know.
You remember, Don, you see, Lady Wicklow, Sir Neville Wilkinson is buried in our club. He died in 1941, Sir Neville Wilkinson. Yeah, he died in 1941 in England. I was told he died in England, but he's buried down in our club.
Could be.
Now, his wife is supposed to be buried also in the same place, but somebody else said that she was buried somewhere behind Shelton Abbey. There's some graveyard in behind Shelton Abbey.
No, well, that I don't know.
Yeah, I was just wondering what was the, had you any idea on that? But anyway, getting back to nicer things. getting back to the Mount Merion end. Have you any more stories about the anybody else around? You know, the
oh, indeed I have plenty.
Nice, funny story. You know, these are the things that.
I don't know that you'd count them.
Well, not funny, but you know, interesting. Well,
the house opposite us is gone now, with our flats built on it.
Yes.
That was
Lady Kern?
Lady Kern. Colonel Lady Kern lived there.
Yes.
Very spruce, fashionable gentleman, went out every Sunday morning with his buttonhole and very smart and very nice person.
Yes.
He lived there, and later on he got a housekeeper, and she was rather a queer sort, but she was housekeeping for him anyway, and gradually we discovered she wasn't at all a pleasant person.
Oh. Yes, yes.
She had the trees cut down. She sold the trees and then she reported to the guards that somebody had stolen them. She had a lot of dogs.
Yes.
And she reported the same that somebody stole the dogs. But she had sold them. Then she started borrowing from our neighbours and ourselves, coming for, oh, could you lend her some tea, but could you lend her a saucepan?
Yes, yes.
Could you lend her something else?
Yes.
So in the end, poor Mr. Bigwood was persecuted with her. She used to go to him to use the phone. And each time she'd say, I'm sorry, I haven't change. And she'd produce a half crown. And in the end, he said he was going to tell her that she owed him the half crown.
The characters that are around here.
But anyway, the poor Ada Byrne, he disappeared.
The husband, or the housekeeper's boss.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yes.
We didn't hear anything about him for, it must have been 2 years. And Mrs. Fitzpatrick, she was the wife of George Fitzpatrick, who lived up on the corner house.
Yes.
It was demolished now, it's a county council.
Yes.
She said, have you ever heard anything about Colonel Lady Kern? We haven't seen anything of him. So I said, no. Then we heard a story that his housekeeper had taken him over to the chapel to marry him.
Aye.
And the next thing we heard was Strawn's had supplied a lot of furniture for the house. And they came out to collect their bill. There was no sign of it being paid. And they saw a man on the avenue scuffing the drive. So they said, where could I see Colonel Lady Kern? So he said, my name is Colonel Lady Kern. He said, scuffing the drive. So they started to talk about their bill and something to be done about it. And oh, he said, you'll have to go up to the house. He said, I don't know anything about it.
so.
They went up to the house anyway, and they went to the hall door, but the hall door hadn't been opened for months and months, according to the look of it. So there were cobwebs all over the place, and no sign of life at all.
Yes.
So apparently this dame came to the door, and she turned them away, and she heard what they wanted. She just shut the door in their face. So that went on anyway. We knew what was happening.
Yes.
And Mrs. Fitzpatrick said to me, "Were you not at the wedding?" She had married. So the next thing we knew was poor Aidy Curran came out with a horsey cart, and all these belongings piled up on the cart, and he's sitting on top of it.
He left the place. He left the house and left herself in it, did he?
No, they had to turn out old money all over the place. But she turned up again in, they went to White Beam Road,
yes,
that neighbourhood, and my husband was in the decorating line. The next thing we got an inquiry from a Mrs. Curran to see would we give her an estimate for the drawing room. So when my husband went out, he recognised her ladyship.
Yes,
I'd say. She didn't get an estimate, she made me sure.
Yeah, I'd say not. Isn't she amazing?
So I don't know what became of her after that.
It isn't strong, isn't the characters, yeah. Now, there's another thing I wanted to ask you about. When I was giving a talk on Mount Marion about 1986, I was very, very green. I'm still green, but I was greener then. And I wanted to bring in St. Thomas, as you say.
Yes.
The church, your church down below. Now, I had got a story that, this is the words I got now, that before St. Thomas's was built, the people of the domain, in other words, the Church of Ireland people of the domain and living around, were worshipping in Tamy.
That's right.
Now, it became so hard to get to Tamy at that stage, they then got permission from a Mr. Crozier, C-R-O-Z-I-E-R, of Stonehouse. Do you remember anything?
What?
Stonehouse. And Mr. Crozier, C-R-O-Z-I-E-R, Crozier, I think, or Crozier, is it?
What's
Crozier, is it?
Yeah.
Mr. Crozier, down beside, he lived in Stone House, beside the Montrose, or near the Montrose Hotel. Mm-hmm. And he allowed the people to worship in, I presume it was a room or somewhere, in his grounds, before St. Thomas's was built. Did you ever remember that or hear about it?
No, because St. Thomas's was there when we came.
Well, of course, yeah.
It was a chapel of ease built by the Hume Dudgeons.
Yes.
For their convenience.
Yes.
It was Mrs. Hume Dudgeon that had anything to say about St. Thomas's.
Is that so? Yes.
Yes, because they provided that little church as a chapel of ease.
Yes, yes.
And it was that until, oh, long after we came here, because Monkgibbon was rector of Tony.
Oh, I see, yes.
And he was our rector when we came.
Excuse me, yes.
And it was quite a while after, before St. Thomas's was declared a parish.
I see.
It was just run by the curate,
yes,
from,
yes,
Tony.
Oh, by the cure. This is before Canon Hipwell arrived.
Oh,
long.
Oh, yes.
Yes, yes, yeah. I see.
Wasn't Vera baptised in St. Thomas's?
Pardon?
Wasn't Vera baptised in St. Thomas's?
Yes, I think,
yeah,
so.
So it must have been 1931 then. It must have been.
Yes, well, you were baptised in Tony.
Now, Tony is the big church.
Right, church, yeah, the, yeah, big one
up
on the
my big church, yeah.
Between this and Dundrum.
Yes, yes. Now,
that's, it was our parish.
That was your parish.
Because Monkgibbon told me one day he had 22 square miles of a parish to serve.
Yes.
And Tridentine Church, St. Nighy's also belongs to it.
Oh,
that was the original church.
I see, yes.
Chathnahy.
What, how do they say?
They gave the name to Tony.
I see, yes.
Chathnahy.
Chathnahy. Yes, I've never been in that. I was in the other church, all right.
Yeah.
And the Lord Pembroke had what do they call him? The
pew.
The pew.
Oh yes, he's on pew.
His name is on Lord Pembroke. His name is on the pew. So I presume he went up there also. The Lord Pembroke.
Oh, did
yeah. Well, yes. There's a little. I remember going up and
yes, you see, yeah. St. Thomas's at that time was a little private chapel.
Yes,
it was
a private
church.
Yes, yes.
Built by the Hume Dudgeons.
I see.
And it was run then by a tourist from Tony.
From Tony, I see, yes. No, I went down to photograph this stone house. The story is correct, all right, but it's long before. You know, certainly long before your time. But this was one of the stories that I got, which I thought was nice. But when I went down, the extraordinary thing about it was that this would be about 3-4 years ago, before, you know, that stone house is demolished. Do you remember the stone house? It's called Stone House. It was a granite built house near Montrose on that side. Yeah. But I went down to photograph it, and it had just been vacated, and there was a caretaker lady in it. And the extraordinary thing was that there were nuns living in it before. It was amazing, just before this lady. And they didn't, I was asking the nuns, and I said, do you know any room where it was possible? Because, you know, most of these places, you could leave a room like that that would be used. And I wanted to get a photograph of it, really, you know, where the people worshipped before St. Thomas's, you see.
Yeah.
Long before St. Thomas's, and unfortunately, the nuns had sold it, I think, shortly after I was there.
Yeah.
And I never got the photograph, and now the place is demolished, it's gone, which is terrible.
That's a pity.
It was, I was sorry that I missed a shot. I thought I might have got maybe a little room at the back. I pictured a kind of a room for a small church or chapel, call it what you like, maybe out in the back, you know, which is, you know, would have been lovely. Anyway, that's past history. I didn't get it, and it's gone now, but I did get a shot of the house. I have it somewhere, but anyway, that's a part of it. I'm very interested, as you know, in the woods in Mount Merion. Do you remember the woods?
I do, of course.
Do you remember anything about the woods, any different things that were in it that you remember?
I remember the path into the wood was just ablaze with all sorts of lovely flowers. Daffodils and bluebells and ferns and the remains of plenty of planting of woodland flowers.
Yes.
And the centre was like an outdoor pavilion.
Yes.
With the whole wood was made in a centre, and then the paths went out at intervals.
Yes, yes.
And there was a chain, originally stone post.
Yes, I remember those myself.
Do you remember that?
Yeah, but I remember
chains connecting.
Faintly the chains, very faintly,
yes. Well, that was the nature of the wood. Well, on the way up to the wood, if you went into the left, it was an old summer house.
Into the left. That's looking from, you know, St. Teresa's Church.
From, yes, right.
Looking up to the woods from St. Teresa's.
Yes, well, that used to be a lawn.
Yes.
Where the church is now.
Yes, I remember that bit, yes.
Yeah, well, when you left the lawn to walk through the wood,
yes.
There was this summer house. You turned off the path and into your left. It was in behind the shrubberies.
I never saw that, yes.
Well, that was an old summer
house. Made of wood. Would it be made of wood?
I think it was wooden. It was thatched anyway.
Yes, I've seen a picture of it.
Little thatched.
Yes.
Summer house.
Yes, that's
I remember that.
Yes.
And then on the way up to the centre, there was a big square concrete pit.
Yes.
And some old ironworks in it.
What did you hear that was?
That, I don't know. It could have been a pump for water.
I think you're right, yes.
But somewhere on the way up was supposed to be the entrance to a tunnel.
Yes.
And that tunnel was supposed to go right down to the beach at Blackrock.
I heard that as well. I didn't hear...
That was to go down, but it was all blocked off on account of Mount Marion Avenue being built on.
Yes.
Because at that time, there was no entry into it. But I think there was a sort of half moon of something, like that could have been steps down.
Yes.
But I don't remember much about it.
You mean steps going down into...
into a tunnel.
A tunnel. That's actually still there.
Is it?
The remains of it, yes.
Yes.
I'm trying to visualise...
Well, that tunnel was like supposed to go right down on Marion Avenue, right to the beach.
What was it used for, would you have any idea?
It was a... which...
The tunnel, why was the... You know, had you any... I believe
it was old enough to... have represented some method of escape.
Yes.
If the place was attacked.
Yes, yes. Yeah, and quite, I heard that too, yes, but I haven't heard it from somebody who actually got it, you know, like somebody like yourself, but yes, I did hear.
That's all I remember about it.
Yes. No, you say that square part. I remember the pumps myself, and I remember there was somebody worked there. Now, I originally, when I was giving the talk, I used to say that there was a pump, like you're telling me, which is quite correct, and I think it pumped the water way up to where the tennis court is now, at the back of the park, and there was a big tank.
Oh, that's
there.
Right.
Do you remember the tank?
Yes,
I
remember.
I think, I may be wrong, but I used to say this, that the water was pumped, rightly as you say, and it would be pumped to this big huge tank which we played in as children, a big iron with huge big rivets in it, big rivets as big as your fist nearly. And it would be just like your own house where you'd have an attic room.
Yes.
You know. And the water, you see, would flow naturally down into the old... I presume it was for the house, like for Mount Marion House or...
Probably.
Yeah.
Because at that time there was no main water up there.
Yes. Well, now, I heard that once and I think that's correct. But then I looked at an old map and I saw that square as being a nice house, ICE house.
Oh.
Yeah, and it's on the map. It's on a very old map. Now, I've got the two stories. I think the two of them are actually correct.
Yes.
Now, I said to somebody, how could you possibly have ice there? But in actual fact, seemingly way, way back, money, of course, was no object. And they imported ice for that square you're talking about.
Yes.
And they packed it down, and then the food from the old house would be brought up. And I have a feeling that that tunnel you were talking about went down to the house and then went down to, Black Rock. Because I had a friend who got into that old house, the old part of it, and he said he got into a tunnel, possibly the very tunnel you were talking about, which was underneath the house, and it was, he said, an escape tunnel, exactly what he told me. So there could have been a connection,
Well, that's just hearsay that I remember.
No, I think you're correct there. I think that's correct, yes. Because there's always some... Now, do you remember anything else in the woods?
We should ask my daughter, because...
Yes.
What your mum wants to know is what that mound was that was beside that tank. Do you remember that it was fenced around and it was a mound, I suppose, 4 or 6 feet high, maybe higher. It seemed very big to us, we were small.
I can only, again, as you say, hearsay, but I just read this recently.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I thought that mound... I thought it was somewhere else. I can't remember.
It wasn't far from that tank.
Not far from the tank.
At the corner.
Yes.
The tank was that corner.
Yes.
And then it was just sort of around the corner.
I see.
Until it was there.
Now, what I heard was somewhere around the woods or near the woods, there was a mound, as you would say. And it was actually, it sounded a bit strange to me, but it was a mound for standing up on, and you could look right around, but it didn't answer, it's too much.
I know what that was.
But if there was a rail around it.
No, I think I know what it was.
Do you? Good.
I think it was where the gardeners used to empty their rubbish.
Is that so? Yeah.
And they had a wheelbarrow full would start in at the bottom, and they gradually went up and up and up until it became a mound.
Would you say yes?
Maybe, yeah.
Yeah. And you say there was a.
Yeah, the
it
children,
could have been, but
yeah.
Yeah, the children used to call it King of the Castle. That was where they picnicked.
Yes.
And you could look over into the orchard from it.
Yes. Well, the orchard could have been up there as well, was it?
Oh, yes, it was about 2 acres.
Was there of an orchard? I didn't realise that.
Underneath the garden, it was a very high wall.
Didn't realise that, yes.
And there was about, must have been a couple of acres.
Yes, yes.
Maybe only an acre. I guess really,
yes.
But it was a very large. It was all the way up to the King of the Castle.
Yes,
to that mound.
Mm.
The garden stretched up to that mound.
Yeah, I do remember right enough. I just can't picture it now, but I remember going through the woods. From St. Teresa's Church, looking up to the woods.
Yes.
As you go up, you pass over the lawn, and then up into the woods.
Yeah.
And on the left-hand side, there was the walk. There is still a walk going right up.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I remember turning left there and going quite a distance along another path. And then I remember a mound.
Well, you might be right.
No, I'm not.
Because I'm not too sure exactly where it was.
But the mound...
It was on the perimeter anyway,
yeah,
of the wood.
But the mound...
Outside the wall.
Yeah, outside the wall. And you could get up on it.
You could, yeah.
And I don't think you could actually see into the.
No, you could just see the trees.
Yeah, I think so.
The
yeah.
fruit trees.
But that's what I remember. Would that be the same one we're talking about?
Oh, it was only
it? It could be near. You see, I'm a bit lost when I go up to the woods now because I can't. Yeah. I have pinpointed one thing that you didn't mention, and I'm sure you must remember it. Just tell me the story you got on it. There was an obelisk on the left-hand side as you went into the woods. You may not have been so daring as to go right into the... As you went to St. Teresa's Church, you look up, go up the lawn, and then you go into the woods itself. And just on the left-hand side, on the right-hand side of the path I'm talking about going up, there was an obelisk about taller than myself, maybe, 15 feet high. Do you remember that? Just a plain obelisk going up. Did you ever see that?
Don't remember.
Do you not?
I don't.
No, I remembered it very well, and it was demolished around 1960, which is up to date more or less.
Yeah.
But somebody told me it was an obelisk to the stories from as children you get to Strongbow's horse. Now I don't know what the story was.
Never know.
You know, I've got a lot of things. I was just wondering, did you remember that?
No, I don't, but I say I was out all day, and
yes.
The children used to go out with the housekeeper we had.
Yes.
And they knew more about the woods and all around
yes.
than
yes.
I did.
You were too busy.
Because they watched all the houses
yes.
being built.
Yes.
Used to investigate the new ones that Kenny was building.
Yes.
And all the rest of it.
Yes, and of course... How many houses roughly would there have been built? Now, from St. Thomas's Road upwards, up to here, how many houses when you came out would have been roughly built, you know, at that stage?
There were no houses.
Nothing at all.
No St. Thomas's Road?
Except 5 bungalows.
Just 5 bungalows, and they were up here?
Ours was the first. On
the first, was it?
And then there was 4 more at intervals.
Most intricate,
yeah.
Yes,
it was a plot in between.
The ones with the same roofs as we have.
Yes, the red roofs, yeah.
Miss McElhenney that lived up on Deer Park, she had a map showing the position of our rectangles of garden mapped out on the old map.
Yes.
And it was a continuous wall from this down to the top of Hoster Avenue. And from that on, it was only a field gate at the corner of Foster Avenue.
Yes, yes.
And the rest of the way down was just a high wall.
I see, yes.
There was no North Avenue or
yes,
no break in the...
That's extraordinary.
Yeah.
I see.
and that was the field gate, and this was all field.
Yes,
North Avenue, which was just a disused avenue with trees.
Yes. It's amazing, yeah. Now, there's a quarry on this here. Do you remember the quarry? The quarry would be where?
It'd be up off the Deer Park Road.
Yeah.
Yes.
Between Elroy and the wood.
Yes.
And the quarry is it would it be portion of the same quarry that the granite?
Yes,
that would be the same.
It was all filled in except a few rocks on the top were left. But it was quite deep, and there was water at the bottom sometimes.
Yes.
And it was quite a big place
for
quarry granite.
Yeah. The Pembroke family, you see, this is going back before Sir Neville's time. The Pembrokes seemingly loved places near granite stone for some reason. I don't know why. Now, I heard this is what I read somewhere along the way.
Yeah.
And they seemingly always built near granite stone. So I presume that quarry, now somebody else said the quarry was actually used more or less during a famine time to help to build roads. This is what I heard about the quarry. Whether that's true or not, I don't know.
I don't know anything about
that. Do you remember, not far from the quarry, there was a beautiful rockery. It would be where now? At the back of the Deer Park bungalows. You know the Deer Park Road going along, and where are we taught? Where the rockery, or where the granite place is, you know, where the granite stone is. Not far from that, seemingly there was a very nice place, and it was called more or less the rockery, with very nice plants. Do you remember rockery plants, little alpines or nice plants around the rocks there? No, you don't remember that. I don't either.
Gone before we came.
I
don't remember any garden beyond. There was a feed gate for the cattle.
Yes.
And the track was just a farm track.
Yes.
It wasn't a road at all.
It was all used.
Not beyond Edinburgh.
Yes. By the way, how did you hear about Mount Marion yourself? Like, why would you come to Mount Marion to live? It was a very, very few people were nobody here, really.
I think it was advertised.
Oh, was it? Yes.
I think, you see, George Squire built Elverhoy. Then he found he couldn't get water up to it.
Elverhoy is his house now, is it round?
That's
halfway
a house.
Halfway up Deer Park, yes.
Yeah, well, at Elverhoy, there used to be, I think, a little bridge that took the water down to the old pond.
Oh, yes, I remember the pond, yes.
Yeah, well, Squire built that, first of all, and he found he couldn't get the pressure because the water came up the road, and still does, and there was no water beyond us.
See.
Even our stopcock is down opposite the next second bungalow.
Yes.
No, the next bungalow.
See, yes.
Our stopcock is there, and our water comes across through their garden.
See, yes.
And still does.
Now, which garden are you talking about? This is
next door.
Next door. Yes. Yeah. So the water didn't go up any further.
No, it had to be pumped from there up to Fitzpatrick's on the hill.
I see. Yes.
Well, when Squire found that, he started to build this.
Yes.
This was the second house that he built.
Yeah.
And then he built the other four.
Yes.
But it was because when he built Elverhoy, he found he couldn't get the water.
I see, yes.
Because there was no pressure. There wasn't enough pressure to bring it up.
And where would that water have come from? Would it be corporation or...?
It's, yes, it's corporation main supply from the... It's probably come from the town supply.
Possibly, yeah. I was just wondering that. It's fascinating to say that you actually saw an ad in the paper, and you know, because it was a very small place.
I was going to tell you, Squire built the house, and then he sold it to a Mr. Fallon.
Yes.
And they were here for about 12 or 18 months. And they advertised it for sale. and he came out to look at it and decided it was so near to town that it would be convenient because we were both in business in town. And the distance was just right.
Yes, exactly.
Because I always lived in the country and I wanted to get out of town.
Yes, of course, yes.
And then Alec was born a few months after we came.
Yes, yes.
So that I was anxious to get out.
Of course, yeah. The open air. And if it was good enough for the Fitzwilliams and the Pembrokes, it was good enough for you.
Well, I took a fancy to it, although it was very bare when we came.
I'm sure, yes.
The garden wasn't made or anything, and it was just a field.
But it was great picking because, why I say that is my dad now, the Lord have mercy on him, he, I'm sure, had no intentions of leaving, but my sister was, she got this tuberculosis around 1937, and the cure for that was
fresh air.
Yes.
And I'm sure my dad would never have come out here, certainly. Except that this was the fresh air, we were high.
Yes.
And my poor old sister, she never saw the place, which was terrible. She died, actually. There was a terrible lot of tuberculosis at that stage. We were living in Rialto, and of course it was very low-lying, but I often wonder why my dad came out, but that was the reason, really, he arrived in Lothmarine. But anyway, that's apart from it.
Shortly after we came here, I was out in the front trying to make something of the garden.
Yes.
And an old priest went by and he sucked his hat.
Yes.
So he said to me, I used to live, close to this. But he said, since then I've been all over the world, But he said, you'll never find a climate like you have here.
Yes, yes.
He said, you'll find you have roses in December.
Yes.
And so we have.
Yes, isn't it extraordinary?
He said you'll never find another claimant.
Oh, a great choice. No doubt about it. Marvellous choice.
Yeah.
Delay you a bit.
I won't say so.
I have my dinner. Thank you very good. I have my dinner at hopefully about 6 o'clock or so. Thanks very much. I know, except you want to have it yourself, but I never eat in between. We'll have a cup, certainly. Yeah.
Just a cup.
Sure, you didn't get any after your dinner. That doesn't matter. To look after the captain of the ship.
Hot dog, by the way,
is
my dictionary.
Oh, is it? Is it really? Good. Oh, great. That's very, very good. It's hard to get somebody that remembers even before Kenny, because most people think that the Kenny-built houses were the first, which they're not.
These were the first. No, George Squire Sr., his son is still building.
And he was the first to build. How much were they, by the way, I meant to ask you? Can you remember the price?
We paid $750.
My goodness me, yes.
But then we've added to it since then.
Yeah.
It wasn't as expensive as it is now.
Yeah, I read he found it very hard. The British Housing Corporation.
Yes.
They were the first, weren't they? The British Housing Corporation.
Well, that's who we paid our ground rent to.
Yeah.
The Housing Corporation of Great Britain.
So in actual fact, this house was the Housing Corporation of Great Britain's house, was it?
Yes.
Yeah. Because they were the first, definitely the first.
I think they bought from the Pembroke estate.
That's right, that would be correct, yes. They would have bought from them. And tell me, did you pay your ground rent into the Pembroke estate, can you remember?
No.
No, because there was at that stage, I think the housing, the Pembroke estate offices are still around, so people are still paying, I think, ground rent into the Pembroke estate offices.
Well, I don't know who they are there weren't any other houses on Mount Merion at that time.
No. They found it very hard to sell houses because, I suppose, money. I mean, 700 in those days was a lot of money, wasn't it?
Well,
it was expensive,
We had to start from scratch.
Oh, yes, I'm sure.
It was just as if the builder had handed it over.
Yes, yes.
And nothing was done because the man that bought it, he was Mr. Fallon, he was in the civil service.
Yes.
and his wife came from London, and she wasn't a happy year at all.
Was she not?
No, we had no electricity.
That's not.
No.
When you came here first, you hadn't any electricity.
No.
And how did you manage then?
Gas.
I see, all gas.
I had gas light and gas cooker.
I see, yes, yes.
But we had no electricity in Nottingham. The second year we were here, we got it all wired up. And
it's extraordinary.
But the time when the builder left us, there was none.
And I wonder how the gas company, they must have, of course, the older houses, the big old mansions.
Yes,
would have had
houses on the opposite side of the road.
And would they have had electricity, the old houses, the big mansions?
I don't know how far they had to bring it to give us service.
Hmm.
I think the bigger houses had already got it.
The electricity, yes. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. But we had only gas light for what must have been a couple of years.
See, it's amazing.
And then we got it all wired up.
We got it wired up, yeah. And a few other little questions to ask you there, which I'm sure. Yeah. Do you remember the old house? Now, this would be the Mount Marion house, they call it. Some people call it, at least at one stage, it was called Pembroke Lodge, Mount Marion House. The one I'm talking about is, do you remember when they converted the old house into a chapel of ease?
Yes.
This is the Roman Catholic chapel of ease.
A temporary chapel.
Do you remember that?
Yes.
Do you remember anyone in that house before?
No, I was trying to think, and I was asking the children if they could remember if there was anybody in it. I think it was empty.
Was it?
But the back portion, I think, was occupied.
The back portion of the house?
Yes, you know, at the back of the temporary chapel.
Yes.
It faces the new chapel.
Yes, yes.
Well, I think that portion was occupied.
Yes.
As a matter of fact, there was a Mr. Wilson next door here.
Wilson?
Yes, and he told me that he once lived up there.
In the Mount Marion house? Or
yes.
Somewhere. Yes.
And I think it was in the back portion that he lived.
See.
It was certainly occupied.
Would that be beside the stables now? Or would it be this side? You know, when I say this side, you go up North Avenue. And the first on the left would be the oldest part of the house, three stories, and then you come to a kind of a gravel portion in the centre, and then you go over to the stables. You know, do you remember the little church that we'd say the Catholic church that was there, that was there when Kenny built it or changed it from an old house? But across from that, there was an old building, a three-story building, very fine looking building. It's demolished now, you wouldn't remember that, would you? Is that the one you're talking about Mr. Wilson lived in?
No, part of the temporary chapel.
Oh, it was part of the temporary chapel?
Yes, the back part of it.
Oh, I see, yes.
Only the front part, I think, was empty.
It was empty.
That they made into a temporary chapel.
Yes, thanks very much. I get you now, yeah. Now, Mr. Wilson, would that be the same Mr. Wilson that the road is called after?
No, I don't think
no.
So.
Thanks very much.
I never got to the back of it. He was a peculiar sort of a man.
Yeah,
because he just said to me one day that he lived up there, so he knew all about Mount Marion.
Yes, yes.
Of course, he's dead and gone now.
Yes. Because there was a very famous man, Mr. Wilson.
Oh, I know Wilson and Lamar. They went on building around.
That's right, that is the same Mallet. Wilson. Yeah.
Are they hard?
A little bit, yeah. Would you rather have a
piece of bracket? Or whatever.
Yeah, okay.
Whatever.
That's lovely, thanks a lot. Thanks very much. Yes, there was a Wilson builder. No, he was supposed to come building
after
British Housing. No, after the British Housing Corporation. We had the British, what was the name of it? The Housing Corporation of
Great Britain.
So, first of all, you had the Housing Corporation of Great Britain. I think then you had Mr. Wilson after that.
Yes, Wilson and Mather.
And Mather.
Mather.
Mather. That's and you have a Mather Road.
Yes, the Mather Road and Wilson Road.
It must be the same builders, yeah. Wilson and Mather, yeah.
Yeah.
And then I think after that came Kenny. He was the last in the line.
Yes.
So it must have been Wilson. It must be this. And was the Wilson living beside you here, was he, did you say?
Yes, I never knew he had any connection with Mount Marion because he came from Glenageary.
Is that so, yes.
And I never knew he had any connection with Mount Marion, but he just said one day that he was sort of angry over the fence or something like that.
Yes.
And he just said that he used to live in Mount Marion.
Oh, he used to live in Mount Marion.
Yes, long ago in his boyhood, I think.
See.
So I think it was in the back portion that
he lived.
Could have lived.
Yes, yes.
I didn't know for you, but for Brack, would you like some?
That's lovely.